Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. Look out over the crowd. A lot of folks is back, and we're glad to see you back. And a lot of folks are gone, and we miss them. And I know that today is the start of camp meeting down at Holbrook Campground, and there's a lot of our folks that are tied to that. So I know that there are a lot of them down there, and I hope they have a good time. I usually would give them a hard time, but I guess I'll let them have a bye today or a pass. No, I appreciate Methodist good folks. They really are. You know, it's your old Methodists that were really the revivalists. The old circuit riding Methodist preachers were really the strong revivalists. We want to think we as Baptists were, but it was probably those Methodists. They were very strong revivalists in the day, and so we love them, and we miss all those folks that are down there. We hope they have a good service. And then folks that are still traveling and away for summer vacation, things of that nature, we miss them and hope wherever they are, they're having a good time and look forward to them being back. If you are visiting with us today, we're extremely glad to have you with us. We've got some folks that's come all the way down from Ohio just to hear me. Actually, they're friends of Wanda's, and they're here with us today, so we're glad to have them with us and any others. If you're visiting with us today, we're so glad to have you. Those that may be listening to us this morning via internet service, we welcome you into the worship service here at Hightower. I'm going to ask everyone in the house, if you would please stand. These ladies are going to play for us, but take a moment of time and shake hands with someone seated there around you, if you would, please. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for playing for us, and thank you, choir, for a good job this morning. Ronnie, for leading the congregation in our songs this morning. We appreciate everything that's been done. If you have your Bibles today and you would like to read along, turn to Genesis. Very easy to find. Very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. This is a familiar story out of the Old Testament. Deals with Abraham and his son Isaac. Chapter number 22, Genesis. This is a real make or break passage, and it is a sure enough test of Abraham's faith and how he's going to really live out his life. I'm going to look at several verses today, but just to get us started, I just want to read the first verse out of chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. It's Abraham in a conversation he has with God. I want to share, before I get started, I've got some notes I made of passages and things that I want to share with you, so you'll better understand really where Abraham is in his life, and gives us a better insight about the kind of man that he was and all the challenges that he had really faced and the tests that he had faced prior to this, but they were really nothing in comparison with this particular test that he's going to face. When you look at Genesis, really you could probably find about 12. There's about 12 test that takes place in Abraham's life. I'm just going to read seven of them to you just for the sake of time. I want to share these with you. When you look at Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is called on to do what? He's called on to leave his homeland. He's called on to leave Ur and travel into a land that he has never been before. So the question is, when you look at that test, do you trust God with your future? Because that's exactly what Abraham had to do. And then when you go on just another chapter over, you see Abraham and his nephew Lot has problems. Well, what did Abraham do? He gave Lot the option to choose whichever piece of land he wanted. So Abraham was willing to really to give up the best land and the choice land in order to keep peace. And the question there is for all of us. Will we still trust God when life seems unfair? Didn't seem very fair to Abraham at that time, what happened to him. Then you go on another chapter, and you have when God comes and speaks to Abraham again and tells him that he's going to have a son, promise of a son. And you know the story about all of that. Abraham and Sarah are both very aged in life. Do you trust God when it looks impossible? Because that's exactly the way it looked. It looked totally impossible. And then you go on, read on just a little bit further, and you're going to understand that through this son, God makes a promise to Abraham of the promised land, but that it's going to be generations away before they ever experience any of that. Question for us is, will we trust God when He asks us to simply wait? All of these things are character builders in the life of Abraham, every one of them. And then you go on a little bit further. Genesis chapter 17. At God's command, Abraham circumcised every male in his family. Will we trust God when He asks us to do something that we just totally do not understand? This is the first mention of that, and I am satisfied Abraham probably thought, what in the world? I mean, without getting too graphic about everything. And the Bible really gives no definitive answer to that. You can look at all, but it's just that God chose this act to be a sign of a covenant between Himself and His people. You really won't find an explanation as to why He chose that particular thing other than it was that, just a sign to show a covenant between Him and His people. And then finally, we come to the one that we're going to really look at today. Abraham is called upon to sacrifice his son. Will anything come between God and me? So those are just, like I said, those are just seven different tests that we see in Abraham's life. And like I said, there's others, but just for the sake of time, I just wanted to share those with you. So we've seen in this, what I've already said, how Abraham and his faith is really put to the test. And when you and I read this story about Abraham and God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son, when we read it, we already know what the end is. So it's totally different than what it was when Abraham faced this test in his life. And all of a sudden, you pick up and where we began reading this morning was God has come to Abraham and God speaks to Abraham. And listen, you could really spend a whole lot of time in just that one verse about the fact that God spoke to Abraham and the fact that Abraham was listening in order to hear God, and then he also responds to God with just a simple address of, Lord, here I am. That says a lot about Abraham. So that's where you see him in this particular passage. And now, then it gets on into the real serious stuff. God comes to him and he begins to speak to him and he begins to say, now Abraham, now listen to this. Take your son. Oh, that's pretty tough right there. But then he goes on and he says, not only Abraham are you going to take your son, but take your only son. Now we know that Abraham actually did have another child, but he was done at an adult age is what we would really think. So that's why it just says your only son. He would still be of an age where he would be considered a young man, I guess you could say, very young man. So he said, take your son, your only son. And not only is he this your son and your only son, but it also goes on to say the son that you love. I would venture to say that just by what God says to Abraham, that Abraham and Isaac probably had a very good father-son relationship. I think that'd be very safe to say when we look at this passage and see what's going on, that they must have had a very, very good, good relationships. So he tells him that in that verse, in that second verse, he tells him to take his son, his only son, a son that you love, and he tells him a place to go. He says, go unto the land of Moriah. And there you're going to offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I tell you to. And then listen what begins to happen. Now God has said this to him, and God has required him, required a test of him that is really going to either make him or it's going to absolutely break him in life. And all of us, sometime or another, are going to face tests in our lives, whether it's either going to make us or break us, or it's going to really show where our faith is, that we're either going to trust totally and fully and completely in God, or we'll trust some other area and some other avenue. But like I said, we know how the story ends, but you and I, the application for our life is that God calls on you and I from time to time in our own lives to fully and completely and wholly trust Him. And that's what he's called on this man to do. Now, trusting God sometimes, it can be a difficult thing. I looked at this and then I thought about, then you go into that very next verse and it begins to talk about Abraham rising up early in the morning and getting everything ready. Do you think Abraham had a restless night? I bet he did. How many times in your life have you had situations where you've had a very restless night? Because God has really put your faith to the test. I mean, where you have come to the place in your life that you're going to have to fully, wholly, completely trust Him. But yet we're human. And that's hard sometimes. So I think it would be fair to say that Abraham probably had a restless night. I know I would. I know that in my own life, when the trials of life have come along and my faith has really been put to the test, that sometimes I have some very restless nights, some very restless days. You go on a little bit further into the passage and you look at verse number 4. And what do we see there? Then we see that he's been on a journey 3 days to this place where God wants him to be at. So he's journeyed for 3 days. Now, think about this. Think about this, folks. Now, you know, don't ever think in your life that you're the only person that's ever had trials, because we know that we're not. You know that you're not. I know that I'm not. I know that you're going to face trials and other folks are going to face trials, and I'll face trials again in my life. Sometimes those trials are a journey in life. And so Abraham has been going on this journey now for 3 days. He has kept walking and going to where God has instructed him to go. And in that 3 days, do you think in his mind that he is contemplating, how in the world can I fix this? How can I get out of this? How can I change this? God, where's the U-turn going to really be at? What's really going to turn this around that I don't have to go through with this? Well, he just keeps on going. And finally, after journeying, the fourth verse says that on that third day, Abraham looked up with his eyes and he saw this place afar off. And it was the place where God had instructed him to go to. But all the way, can't you imagine every thought that was probably running through the mind of Abraham, everything that was happening and everything that was taking place? And then, for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of hurry this along a little bit. Then you look, when you look at verses 5 through 12, it's really what you might say where the rubber meets the road. Because the time has passed, everything has fell into place. This young man that we don't know what his age was, but we know that he was old enough to carry the wood. He was big enough to do that, but we don't know really an exact age or anything about him, about particulars of that. But we do know that he was able to do the carrying of the wood. And he's going there and he's being obedient. I told you he and his father evidently had a real good relationship. He never questioned his father other than asking where the lamb or where is the sacrifice, because evidently he understood something about sacrifice. He saw the wood that would be there, and he knew his father had the knife to take the life of the animal that they would use for the sacrifice. But here we are. Now listen, think about all the things that is probably going. Again, I want to go back to Abraham. Think about all that's going through his mind. God has promised that through Abraham's seed that a nation would rise up and a nation would come along that would be the ultimate deliverance of all of humanity. And through that seed, a Savior would come, who is Christ our Lord. And now here is Abraham. And God is asking Abraham to sacrifice this son. This son that you have promised. Listen, Abraham is probably thinking, well, my son has got to make it to adulthood. And not only has Isaac got to make it to adulthood, but Isaac also has to make it to fatherhood. Without those things, without making those steps, what God has said was going to happen and come through this child would never happen if he makes it only to adulthood. He's still not going to be able to fulfill the promise. He has to make it through to adulthood and also to fatherhood. So all of these things are running through Abraham's mind, and he is wondering, God, what in the world? What are you doing to me? Do you ever have those moments in life when you just really don't understand everything? You thought you had listened real good to the instructions and the directions that God had given you in life, and you thought that perhaps you were going along through in your Christian walk with God, that you were doing pretty good, and then all of a sudden God throws something at you that you just don't understand. I am very well satisfied that that's the way that Abraham must have felt. So then it comes down to this, and this is where it comes down to every single one of us. Do we trust God, or do we lean towards conventional wisdom? Now, conventional wisdom in that day would have said this. It would have said to Abraham, look, if you sacrifice this son, you are messing everything up. Because we don't know that Abraham did have a little bit of a problem in trusting God fully and completely, because earlier in his life, he had already tried to help God out one time. That's the biggest mistake any of us, I think, can ever make in life. And that's exactly what Abraham had done one time when God had promised him a son. And you know, he ends up taking his wife's handmaid. And he does have a child with her. And he thought, you know, his intentions were good. His intentions were, you know, God, I can help you out with this. I can make this happen. But that was not God's plan for Abraham and for his life. So conventional wisdom in our life says that I can fix the problem, or I can manipulate things enough to make it work. Let me tell you something. Always remember this, and this is very hard for me. So don't think that I'm picking on anybody today. But sometimes, how many times are we really and truly guilty of knowing what God's plan is, and yet we want to tweak it just a little bit? You ever hear that term, you know, something, you got something and really you think you can improve on it? I've done that, you know, and sometimes I've really made a mess out of things because I thought, you know, if I just tweak this a little bit, it's going to be a whole lot better than the way it was really designed and the way, you know, the instructions said to put bolt A in slot C and everything. And I thought, I think bolt D, you know, tweak this thing a little and it'd work just a little bit better. That don't work. It doesn't work with God. You don't manipulate God. He don't need any tweaking from you and I. His plan is always a perfect plan. And His plan will always be successful, and His plan will always work. But it's so easy. It's so easy to fall in the trap of Abraham. It's so easy to think that, God, I understand what's going on, and my conventional wisdom in my life says that, you know what, I can fix this problem, or I can manipulate this problem a little bit, and everything is going to work out to your design. This was a problem that was handed down even in this family. You remember the story of Jacob. Jacob basically done this. He prayed his prayer, or really plotted and planned through his prayer, and then asked God to bless his plotting and planning and scheming and conniving. That won't work. It didn't work with him. But that's the way he tried it. So it's really something that's been passed down through this family. But it never works. It never works. So as you go on in the story, Abraham has the choice of either trusting in conventional wisdom, trusting in what he knows he can do. He can fix the problem. He can do whatever. He can help God out. But we see in the story that this time, Abraham is going to be the man that is going to definitely pass the test. They're going on. They've come to the place. Again, imagine all the struggling that's going on in Abraham. But he keeps on going, keeps on following, keeps on trusting. And can you imagine how Abraham must have felt when that son, that only son, that son that he loved, looks up at Abraham and says, "Father, we've got everything here, but where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham gives the perfect answer: God will provide. And how prophetic really is that? How prophetic is that? That God will always and has always provided the perfect sacrifice, and He has ultimately provided the perfect sacrifice in Christ Jesus for every single one of us. So He tells His son, God will provide. Here is Abraham just continuing on in that trust and faith. So he gets there, and then he begins to prepare that wood in a certain way for that altar. Binds his son. Now this is Abraham really showing you and I that he is a man that is willing to go all the way with God. Binds his son on that wood. Raises a knife ready to take his son's life. And all of a sudden God speaks to Abraham again. Verse 12 said that he said, "Lay not thy hand upon your son, neither do any harm to him. For I know that you fear God." He passed the test. The test was simply, would Abraham follow God or not? Was he willing to go all the way with God? Or was he not going to go all the way with God? And I do want to tell you this, and I really do believe this, and I'm going to give you two passages of Scripture so you'll also, I think you'll understand it with me and see it in the same way. God would have never allowed this sacrifice to happen. He would have never allowed it. He would have never, because if he would have been no better than a Canaanite God. Little g, God. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. "Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord which he has, have thou done to their gods." Now this is talking about those Canaanites. "And for even their sons and daughters have they burnt in the fire to their gods." That was a Canaanite practice. And then when you can turn over into the book of Jeremiah, the 19th chapter. Verse number 5, they have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I commanded not. God would have never allowed that to happen, but it was a testing. And see, it's easy for us to look at this because we know the end. We have the story. We see the whole thing. But my point is for you and I that sometimes in our lives, tests come along in our own lives, and we don't see the end either until God reveals it to us, until God shows us what the complete picture and what the complete story is. But the thing that you walk away with this and understand is that Abraham trusted God. No matter what God called on him to do, Abraham trusted God. And that's the same thing that God speaks to the world today. Whatever I call on you to do, just simply trust me and be willing to go all the way with me. And it will always work. God provided a sacrifice. God has provided a sacrifice for you today. God has provided a way for you today. If you're here this morning and you have never trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, if you've never placed Him in the priority that He deserves in your life, and you've never come to a place of repentance, genuine repentance in your life, and trusted Him and made Him the Lord of Lords and King of Kings in your life, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. While we stand together, Ron, if you would come around, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you're here and you've never come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to come forward this morning while we sing this verse of song. Okay, again, we do thank all of you for coming. Remember, we've got a lot of things coming up, especially for our revival. Coal Mountains Church is actually going to be here on Monday night, their choir. And they'll be singing Monday night for us, and then Daily Bread Tuesday night, and then youth services Thursday night. So be very much in prayer for those things, okay? And everything that we got going on here at the church always needs prayers. No one has anything. Thank you again for coming. Let's bow our heads. Randy Wilkie, would you dismiss us, please?